flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You know, during the break there, we were talking about, our slam dunk in Vegas sweepstakes that is taking place right now. Tell you about that real quick. Go to the Odyssey app, AUDACY, download it, put it on your phone. Go search The Fan Upstate. Click the little heart button to make it a favorite, so every time you open the app, it'll take you right to The Fan Upstate. And if you spend 1 hour listening to The Fan Upstate on the Odyssey app, you will be immediately entered and automatically entered into our Slam Dunk in Vegas sweepstakes. It is a national competition that you can win just by doing what you are literally doing right now and listening to the show in the station. Go to the Odyssey app, AUDACY, follow the station and listen live. You listen for 60 minutes and register on the app. You are entered. A winner is going to be selected that is going to be given airfare and accommodations for four on a trip to Las Vegas and $5,000 per person. That is $20,000 that could be won, and all you have to do is do what you're already doing, and that is listen to the show. Go to the Odyssey app, AUDACY, favorite The Fan Upstate, spend 60 minutes listening to the show or the station, any show on it, and you could be a winner. So we were talking about going to Vegas, and I said, you know, as much as I love Las Vegas, it's a blast. My wife has zero interest in Vegas, which I've been trying to talk her into for a while. I'm like, you know, we like to do one big trip every year. I'm like, we should do a week long in Vegas, man. Should go see a bunch of shows, do a little gambling, a little sweat, go during the football season maybe. And I told her, I told Zoe during the break, I was like, she doesn't really have any interest, but I think my hook might be the next time the Saints play out that way. And since the Saints are going to suck for a long time and the Raiders are going to suck forever, there's a very good chance at some point that we get partnered up to go to Vegas. Since the bad teams play the bad teams the next year, there's a chance that we could end up playing out there.
The Raiders might be better because of the coach, and I'm sure the new coach for the Saints will have them ready to go too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. For sure.
Who is that?
Yeah, we ain't got one yet. It's going to be Kellen Moore, but we ain't got one yet. So, anyway, I told him, I was like, maybe we go out there. And then I remembered that the Saints played the Raiders this year. And then I remembered, I don't remember if that game was in Las Vegas or in New Orleans. I genuinely don't remember. I have come to the realization.
Do you remember who won?
Yes, the Raiders won. And I only remember that because Cody Decker is a Raiders fan, and he let me have it, deservedly so. I don't remember if that game was in New Orleans or Vegas, which means that I have hit the point of Saintsdom that I have bleached this past season from my memory. I've just bleached it from my memory.
Hey, good for you. I mean, that's what you do. You start anew. I mean, you forget about the past. You look forward to the successes in the future.
You know, it's one thing to forget about the past, but this wasn't a thing like, you know, like a goldfish, right? Last play's behind you. All you got's the next play. I respect that. I appreciate that mindset. You know, I didn't say I choose to forget about the past. My brain has just wiped it from my memory. I don't remember if that game was in New Orleans or Las Vegas. I know we played them. I know we lost. I don't remember who played. I don't remember anything about it. I know we played. I know we lost. I don't remember where. I don't remember if anybody had a good game that game. I don't remember. I genuinely, honestly do not remember that game.
By the way, I believe that most people don't remember that stuff that you forgot. I get that you usually do, but most people, I don't remember where certain games were played during the season. And I've never, it has nothing to do with my advancing age. I've never remembered that stuff after the season.
Yeah, but like I do this for a living. And
even a bunch of people who do it for a living don't remember that stuff.
I do.
This is more about your fandom, I think.
I do. It is about my fandom. I acknowledge that. And even though I do have the ability to take off the fan cap and act as an analyst only when I'm on the air, I think this is a weird spot because I do it for a living, and because to me, I absolutely believe that recent history impacts the near future. Like, I want to be able to say, okay, last year when this team happened and this player did this and blah, blah, blah. And that's usually something I lean on. Hey, remember the last time the Panthers played the Falcons over in Atlanta? Remember the Falcons playing at Atlanta to end the season? I remember that win. I remember what Bryce Young was doing, dropping a couple of tutties in that game. Like, I remember that game. That's not even my team. I have unintentionally, subconsciously dropped the memory of my team's results this year.
By the way, all that stuff that you just said, if you don't remember it, but you still talk about the game, no one will notice. Except for you.
It's more about my
sadness. It's your pattern. This is how you see it. It's about what's coming up in a couple weeks. I get it. Maybe that's you were going to blame it on the fandom and not the age.
Okay. No, for sure. It's got, honestly, like, because again, I can sit here and tell you the details of the last three or four Panthers games, no problem, because I was covering them. As a Saints fan, and I don't even think it's sadness about what has happened. It's just acknowledgement of what is about to happen. We're going to be bad for like 3 years, and I'm just starting the disattachment from this team emotionally for the next 3 years as we struggle to just exist. Oh, it's going to be rough. Hey, it's 7:06 in the morning. You got less than 54 minutes till you got to get, you'll be hind up in the office and get to work, ladies and gentlemen. If you got to go to work today, you just have to. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Here's the good news. The good news is at least you can take some of your day to sit around and talk sports with the coworkers. If you're going to sit around and talk sports with the coworkers, well, my dudes and dudettes, you're going to need this. I'm not going to play with it anymore.
Yeah, stop it.
That just felt unnecessary, if we're being honest.
You needed to pick me up.
And that's what you come up with, huh? Okay. Cool.
It invoked emotion in you, and now you're just going to kill this segment.
Disgust is an emotion that is true. Water cooler, cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let's jump right in with item number one. Don't need to spend a ton of time on this. I just found it interesting. And as we edge ever closer to the Daytona 500 coming up on February 16th, I found it an interesting story. NASCAR over the last couple of years has been gaining in popularity. I have credited that many times to the rise in interest from people, places, demographics that haven't ordinarily been interested in NASCAR. If I'm keeping it a buck, welcomed in NASCAR, but now they are. The door's open. Guys like Michael Jordan have stepped in and gotten involved. We are seeing a progression of more diversity amongst drivers on the track. Bubba Wallace, Rajah Caruth, who was in our studio last Monday. We have seen an increase in attention, but I also believe that NASCAR's success is not just going to be determined by its ability to embrace change, something that, frankly, I actually think NASCAR's done a really good job with over the last couple of years. It is also going to be as some NFL teams have recognized over the years, maintaining a relationship with its roots and its past and its history in a way that celebrates and honors where it came from in its drive to end up wherever it is going. Jimmy Johnson is back in the fold. The seven-time NASCAR champion is now the majority owner of Legacy Motor Club under a restructuring in which an investment firm, Knighthead Capital, that JJ is a part of, picked up primary ownership and management of the Cup Series team. Johnson became invested with Knighthead Capital a couple of years ago. Knighthead Capital, a couple of years ago, purchased Petty Enterprises, of course, named after the legendary driver, the King, Richard Petty. They restructured it. They added a couple of other teams into the fold and have restructured the entire thing as the Legacy Motor Club. Jimmy got interested and invested a couple of years ago and did have plans of joining as a full-time owner. But the plan, apparently, according to JJ, was for this to happen a few years down the road. Jimmy Johnson's actually been living with his family in England, where they've been invested in some other racing, some F1, some open wheel, etc. Well, JJ and the group decided now's the time. Jimmy is moving back from the UK. He is relocating back to Charlotte, North Carolina, where this race team is owned and operated from and will get involved. I think it's good for NASCAR. I think the ability to have the names that made the sport like JJ involved while you welcome new names into the fold is big time important. I think this is great for NASCAR to have Jimmy Johnson back on the sideline as an owner. Imagine the value that the guys that drive for his team, the 42 and the 43 car, imagine the value that is added by those guys being able to, at any point in time, pick up the phone and call seven-time NASCAR Cup champion Jimmy Johnson. I think it's great for NASCAR. It's great for that team. What a move. Let's go to item number two. Super Bowl next Sunday down in New Orleans, Louisiana. Of course, New Orleans, Louisiana, the site of that heinous attack that took place on New Year's Eve when an extremist drove a truck onto Bourbon Street and ended up killing a number of people. The NFL is obviously, as is the Department of Homeland Security, well aware of the dangers posed to the over 100,000 people that are expected to be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl next weekend. And because of that heightened environment, an environment which has earned the second highest level security alert from the Department of Homeland Security, the NFL says that they are upping their visible security by a lot. Kathy Lanier, the NFL's chief security officer, said there will be heightened measures around the game to protect the over 100,000 people that will be in town that week. Lanier said the NFL had already developed a security plan over the past 2 years, but are working closely with federal, state, and local authorities to reassess those plans, to sharpen up those plans, and to make sure that those plans are not just in place, but are effective on the day of the game. She did go on to say, "We are prepared to make new modifications should something change between now and the Super Bowl. That's kind of our job, is to be flexible and make changes as needed. But I feel very confident that we're going to the Super Bowl in an environment that people are going to feel comfortable, they're going to feel safe, and they're going to enjoy the game." End quote. I don't know how much impact that has on us at home, us that are going to be watching the game from the rest of the country. What I do know is I despise the fact that we have reached a point, unfortunately, where people are understandably, justifiably second guessing their ability to just go enjoy a football game. It's sad. I have at least one person in my life that will not go to live sporting events anymore. They just consider them too dangerous. And I hate them. I understand, but I hate that for, I shouldn't say I hate them. That's I hate that for them. I love them. I hate that for them, that they feel that way. So I am very much hoping that those local, state, and federal authorities will be able to keep this game and this entire environment safe so that we can maybe kind of start to get back to business as usual. Finally, item number three. We're going to be talking about this coming up here in just a minute, but NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show that he likes the idea and is considering the idea of shortening NBA games by 2 minutes per quarter, going from 12-minute quarters down to 10-minute quarters in order to shorten the game. Silver said yesterday to Dan Patrick that he believes that by shortening the quarter length by 2 minutes, the average NBA game could be played in roughly a two-hour window. He said that that is more consistent with the television viewing habits of fans, that fans are at this point kind of hovering around a 2 minute maximum watch time for an NBA game. He feels that like more fans will be able to watch more games more consistently by dropping it down to 10 minutes. Now, as of right now, there is nothing that is moving in this direction. There are no discussions taking a place around the Board of Governors. There is no vote upcoming. They have not spoken about this with the Players Association to include it in a new CBA or anything like that. It is just a comment that was made by Adam Silver on the Dan Patrick Show. But that is how change is initiated. It is started by a comment. They gauge the reaction to it. And if the reaction seems like it is good, then they go with it. And if the reaction is overwhelmingly negative, then they'll kill the idea. I'm adamantly against this, and I'll tell you why. Because I do not for a second believe that this is being done with the intention of creating NBA games that last 2 hours. I believe that this is being done, and this is cynical of me. It is jaded of me, and yet I don't know how to feel any different. I think this is just a way to have more advertising space within a game. I don't think the games are going to go any faster. They may shorten up by a couple of minutes, but I believe that the amount of time within the games that advertising partners are featured will increase.
Have they tried it in the G League yet?
Not that I am aware of, but Silver did point out that globally, most professional leagues, and he is correct about this part, globally, most professional leagues do play 10-minute quarters. Most professional European leagues, they play 10 quarters. The FIBA, the Olympic Games, they all play 10-minute quarters. So the NBA is the only league that does, it's the only major professional league that does play 12-minute quarters. I would even go so far as to point out that when you get down to the college level, it's what? Two 20-minute halves, the equivalent of two 10-minute quarters per half, the equivalent of four 10-minute quarters. So it's not something that we're unused to, because if you follow any type of basketball outside of the NBA, you are already used to 10-minute quarters. Two 20-minute halves in college, 10-minute quarters if you follow the Olympics or international ball or anything else. And so I understand what Silver is saying here. The problem that I have is that I do not for a second believe that this is being done to enhance fan experience. Hey, we're not going to ask you to sit down for a 2.5, 2-minute, 45-second game, or a 2-hour, 45-minute game. We're going to sit you down for 2 hours. We're going to get you in, tip, half, final, done, 2 hours, in and out. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that the total broadcast will probably drop off as you are eliminating effectively 8 minutes of active basketball. You usually can say, you kind of time that out by like times three to determine how much time that game is going to take. You're going to probably drop, you're dropping 8 minutes of clock time basketball. You're probably adding 4 or 5 minutes of commercials. And that may not have a drastic impact on a ton of you that don't watch a lot of regular season basketball. Certainly those of you that aren't watching it now, right? You're going to jump into the NBA after the Super Bowl. Maybe you'll start watching. It'll absolutely have an impact when we get to the postseason. It'll absolutely have an impact once we get to the NBA's seven-month postseason. It'll absolutely have an impact once we get to the NBA Finals. And it will have an impact on, say, Christmas Day games. I don't love it because I just don't trust that this is actually being done to enhance the fan experience and give us shorter NBA games. I believe this is being done so, like every other league, they can increase the amount of commercials they can put in a broadcast and make a bigger profit margin off of it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. We'll talk more about this later on in the show. We got a lot more we need to get to. We got Lula Kessin coming up here in just about 40 minutes from now. Nobershot Beard today. He'll join us tomorrow at 8:40. Mario at 9 o'clock. Lonzo with Fight Club at 9:20. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So let's talk about this Adam Silver interview from yesterday. If you missed the last segment of the show, the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know. Well, don't do that because we talk about important stuff. Like yesterday, Adam Silver on the Dan Patrick Show, who said this? Well, my audio died on me. Anyway, let's see if maybe this one will work. Nope, can't load the media. Awesome. I will figure it out. But Adam Silver, basically all you need to know is that on the Dan Patrick Show, Adam Silver said that the league is looking at potentially, now there is, again, no formal conversation about this. There is not a discussion planned that we are aware of yet that has been reported on. I have not seen a Shams bomb drop about this yet. But Adam Silver said the NBA is the only professional league globally that plays with four 12-minute quarters. Every other professional league plays four 10-minute quarters. The international rules are for 10-minute quarters. And Silver said that the justification for a potential change to four 10-minute quarters is to be more in line with the television viewing habits of everyday Americans.
This sounds like conformity to me. You are the standard of what it is to be a basketball player. You set the standard. The world comes to you, you don't come to the world. So why go back and do what they're doing? They should do what you're doing.
So here's the thing. I understand that emotion. I understand that feeling. The NBA, more than any other league, I would include the NFL, though the NFL is a close second. The NBA is not only doing its best to become a global product, the NBA is also actively incredibly reliant on being a global product. If you think about it, look at, I would argue, some of the best players in the NBA right now. Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid. These are all, well, Joel Embiid. These are a long litany of international players, global players that have found their way to the NBA. The NBA understands that the game of basketball, more than the game of American football, more than baseball, more than any other game, basketball is becoming a global game. And the NBA benefits from that. And so, and I'm defending Adam Silver out of the gate, and then I'm going to turn around and get him here in a second. The NBA is looking and saying, okay, what's going to be easier for us as we continue to try to grow our brand globally? Great one. You know this. I know this. Everybody knows this. In the world of business in 2025, if you ain't growing, you're dying. The number one objective that we have is always grow your audience. Doesn't matter how big you are, grow your audience. So the NBA is saying, hey, if we bring ourselves more in line with what global basketball is viewed as, we'll probably be able to get people, more Luka Doncic's, more Giannis Antetokounmpo's that grow the game and come to the NBA as the ultimate crown jewel league to play in. A lot of the world, as it has adopted competitive basketball, has indeed followed the way that it operates in the United States. But one of the things they haven't is the clock. This is, if we're giving Adam Silver and the NBA the benefit of the doubt here, this is just a way to compromise, to meet in the middle and say, okay, you guys are doing it this way. We'll take a few steps in your direction if you take a few miles and hours. No problem with that. Here's the problem I have with this whole conversation. The whole problem with the conversation I have is it's being dressed up as, oh, we're doing this for the fans. We're doing this for the fans. We can get games played in 2 hours. And that would be fine if I believed it to be true. Unfortunately, I do not. Right now, the average NBA game is about 2 hours and 22 minutes in time. They can be as short as 2:15. There have been some this year that have been up over north of 2.5 hours. Silver says if we knock those 8 minutes of game out, we can get it down to 2 hours. Like, okay. I mean, if I'm sitting down to watch a whole NBA game, I don't know that extra 22 minutes is going to be the deciding factor of whether I watch or not. But, again, doesn't matter because I don't believe that that is the case. And I cite college football as the reason for that. Back in 2023, the NCAA implemented several rule changes to shorten game times and reduce the number of plays per game. There were a bunch of changes, but the biggest three were untimed downs at the end of the first and the third quarters, eliminated. If a defensive penalty occurs on the final play of the first or the third quarter, instead of giving the offense an untimed down, they add that penalty to the next play to start the second or the fourth quarter. No consecutive timeouts. Teams are no longer allowed to call consecutive timeouts in situations of, you know, icing the kicker or whatever, trying to take unnecessary stoppages out. And, of course, the big one, running clock after first downs except in the final minutes, the final 2 minutes of each half. That used to be one of the hallmarks of college football. If the chains moved, the clock stopped until they were set. And on a lot of drives, that kind of lengthened the game. So in 2023, the NCAA put those changes into place. In 2022... the average college football game length was 3 hours and 21 minutes. They put all of these rules into place. Do you know what the average game duration was last year with all of these rules in place? It was 3 hours and 21 minutes. It is now 3 hours and 20 minutes. They put in all these changes, right? They stopped the clock. Back in the day, they stopped the clock. Now they don't do that anymore except in the final 2 minutes. No consecutive timeouts. No more on time down. They put in all these rule changes, and all of these rule changes were justified by saying, we want to make the game quicker. We want to have fewer plays. We want the game to be more viewer-friendly and not require 2.5 hours of you to sit down. 3 hours and 21 minutes, to be precise. College football put all of these rules into place, and they dropped the total length of the game on average by 60 seconds. So, where did all this time that we saved go? I brought this up, and on X, SC Sparty said, Rob, college football changed their timing rules by removing the stopping of the clock after first downs. They just filled that time with extra commercials. Games are still 3 to 4 hours long. The NBA will do the same thing. Less game, more ads, same time slot. That is exactly what I said. I had that written on the prep sheet for today. I would actually probably be on board with this idea if I believed for a second that it was actually being done to give us the opportunity to play games in 2 hours instead of 2 hours and 22 minutes, right? Okay, fine. Thanks for saving me 22 minutes and still giving me a full game. There's a lot of other ramifications that come into play, too. A lot of career records will stand forever because you are taking 8 minutes of play time away from every NBA player. So guys that go out there and they play, you know, the majority. Now, you may have some starters that play every minute of every game now.
Yeah, but with the rate of scoring right now and how many points are scored in a game, are you really hurting it that much? Scores are like, what, like a 135?
Not always. There's been a lot of games that are cashing the under right now. I think it's more about the record books and all that, but forget all. Let's just talk about the impact of the game. The reality of the situation is the NBA is doing this for one reason and one reason alone, and it's the same thing the college football game did. It's so that they can sell more ads to their sponsors, put more ads into your eyeballs, make more money, and help you out zero. Stop with this crap. We're doing this for the fans. We're trying to help the fans. No, you're not. You're trying to have more ad space to sell more ads and make more revenue. Stop dressing it up as anything else. It's gross and I don't like it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Upstate. Real quick, final thought on that clock change that Adam Silver brought up yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show. Which again, the only issue I have with it is I feel like it's just dishonesty, right? It's just he's sitting here saying, "Oh, we're doing this because it's going to make it a more fan-friendly game." I don't think that's the case, and I don't think that's the case because of again college football. 2023, we put all the rules in to make the game shorter. The games have been shortened by an average of 1 minute. And during the break there on our live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, or the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. You're welcome. Trey chimed in. And Trey said, my cousin and I went to the South Carolina versus Florida game in 2021. There's so many TV breaks that the game is slowed down. We wanted to be rowdy and loud, but it feels like teams get more timeouts to get plays in than the six that they are given. That was in 2021 before the rule change. If you've been to a game since 2023 after the rule change, it's worse. It's worse because keep in mind, if you are at a game when the TV networks are at break, they send a referee out onto the field, and he's got these big orange oven gloves on, and he stands out there with his hands out like this, and he signals to the ref for a TV break. And schools can do whatever they want. It's called a media timeout. Schools can do whatever they want during that media timeout. Most schools will do stuff like bring dignitaries out and honor them, or they'll do a big check presentation to a local charity, or whatever. They're going to thank a donor for their generous support of the program, or whatever. They'll bring out their, you know, their track and field team. They won this this award last year, and ladies and gentlemen, welcome your Gamecock baseball team or whatever. And that's all well and good, but let's be honest. As fans, after the like 19th thanks for all your money, this very special rich booster, here's another thing that you get that regular fans don't get because you give us money, it kind of bogs down the game a little bit. And that is happening more than it's ever happened before. Because we have effectively shortened the game by 1 minute and just added a bunch of TV breaks to compensate. To me, that's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. What's happening here is very clearly the NBA is going to shorten their games by a minute or two, but the you know 8, 9, 10 minutes that would actually go back to fans, they're going to sell those minutes. And I will say this. The NBA does not have the leeway that college football does. Okay? College football and the NFL are so beloved by the fans that they could outright say, I believe, they could outright say, hey guys, we're going to shorten the game up by 10 minutes. 8 of those minutes are going to become commercial breaks and suck it. And we would be like, okay. And we watch anyway. We haven't gone anywhere. The ratings are still through the roof. We haven't gone anywhere. NBA, I don't think, has that margin of error. If they say, hey, we're gonna play 8 more minutes of commercials in a game, I'm not saying people are going to walk away, but they're certainly not going to grow anymore. And I think that's a big problem. It's just the dishonesty. You know, I understand chasing the bag. I understand getting the buck. At the end of the day, these leagues are businesses. They are in the business of making money. They are in the business of putting green onto the stat sheet, onto the profit line. I'm not mad at that. I understand that at the end of the day, we are the product, not the game. We're the product. The players get paid to deliver the product, which is us. The players get paid millions of dollars because we're going to tune in to watch them. Where you lose me, and it really is just a stand on principle, I guess, but where you lose me is when you sit here and you tell us, oh, really, fans, we're doing this for you. We're doing this for you. We're trying to make the game shorter. We're trying to make them more palatable. We're trying to make them more viewer-friendly on TV. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're trying to put more commercials into my eyeballs so that you can go sell those commercials to big-time companies who are going to give you another $10 million to put into your coffers to make that money. And again, no problem with chasing the bag. Rob Brown isn't an idiot. I understand that businesses aren't charities. They are not run so that everybody out there that utilizes them can have the best possible experience. That's not what they're there for. They're there to make money. But, like, stop lying to me. And we're doing this for you, Rob. No, you're not. You're doing it so you can throw another commercial starring a YouTube influencer in my face so that you can then charge that company $2 million to do so and you can get richer. You have made my life slightly less convenient in order to benefit you. At least have the common courtesy to say it to my face. You know what I mean? Like, that's my... It's a dumb problem to have, but that's what it is. That's what it is, and that's where we are. All right. We got a couple of other things I want to get to here on the radio broadcast as we roll on. Let's see. Where did my clip go? Oh! No, I'm going to save that for the audio blitz. I was going to... There was a conversation, speaking of the big shows, the big boys, Eisen and Patrick, who have been, by the way, you can listen to the Rich Eisen Show every single weekday right here on the Fan Upstate from noon to 3. It's fantastic radio. Rich, by the way, on an absolute heater with guests this week. I mean, on a heater with guests. He's been racking them up.
By the way, he does that all the time. One of the things that I've watched even before we picked him up noon to 3 was... clips of him with celebrities and him asking them questions. He's got a ton of celebrities on his show.
Yeah, and like he talks sports with them, which I think is aggressive.
But he's also casual, and he has like a bunch of and he asks.
I can't believe you said that about him.
He asks weird questions. His casual and you notice how when I said it, I didn't have a tone though. When I said casual, I meant his interviewing style.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it still doesn't work. You got a tone, dude. You got a tone.
The audacity.
You're trying to turn that on me.
The audacity.
When you got a tone.
I'm
not your friend who came up to you and pointed out how derogatory your use of casuals were. That wasn't me.
Sorry, I hurt your feelings.
It didn't hurt my feelings. I don't care.
He had Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Creed Humphrey on the show the other day and asked him a question that I'm not going to lie, I've wanted to ask for a long time. That is awesome. I can definitively say, though, however, and I know this, that he was not named after the band Creed. And I know that because Creed Humphrey. Now, I can't say definitively. I can say mostly definitively. Because the band Creed did not form until late 1994 and Creed Humphrey was born in 1995. So unless mom and dad were listening to Tremonti and Stapp in the gang when they were laying down in the garage their first couple of tracks, and they also, by the way, weren't Creed yet, because their first big time album, which was My Own Prison, did not drop until 1997, 2 years after Creed Humphrey was born. So unless mommy and daddy Humphrey were listening to whatever the garage style of Creed was, formed, by the way, at Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida, unless they were listening to Stapp and Tremonti because they knew them personally in 1994, the answer, unfortunately, is no.
Okay, why would you do this? Why would you try to kill a myth by deep diving? Because, I mean, we know you went to high school with the bass player. We get it. Okay, and that's I mean, why there are people out there who including Rich Eisen, because he wouldn't ask that question if he would have had that information, and I'm sure he could have deep dove it like anybody else. Like, I don't know if I'm properly using that, because
sure, why not?
We're gonna go with that. But then he's kind of ruined it. I mean, why would you do that?
Because even when it makes me sad, I'd rather know when things are true. I don't want to believe false things just because they make me feel fun. Okay? Also, because what I'm not going to have is my guy out here getting to pretend like he's cooler than he is by pretending he's named after Creed when he's not. We have shot down politicians for less than that.
Okay.
All right?
Not a good use of words there. Yeah. Yeah, I just that's horrible. I can't believe it. It's probably the worst segment since we've been on the air that you would destroy that sort of thing, just to make yourself look like a master journalist for figuring this out just because you lived down the road from them.
I mean, literally the bassist.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, went to school with him, Brian Marshall.
Well, I guess he had to live in the area where you lived if you went to the same high school.
Does make it easier. You're not wrong. Yeah.
And I think this is a conversation a lot of kids have with their parents eventually about, why was I named this? You didn't have that problem.
Nope.
I didn't have that problem. But kids who are named something that's totally different from anybody else in their immediate family, or their cousins or uncle, and they don't know anyone named that.
Texter said, I would legally change my name. Creed sucks. Creed does not suck. Creed's awesome. Creed's awesome. But I also have to acknowledge Creed was the first band that I listened to like on my own and had feelings about. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think you go through iterations. Like, I think if I was very fortunate, obviously, to be grown to grow up in a home that I had both my parents and they had their own musical taste and whatever. And I grew up listening over here on my dad's side. It was like John Denver and the Eagles. Over there on my mom's side, it was like Zeppelin and the Grateful Dead. So I had like a well-rounded music. And I come from New Orleans, which obviously music is enormous in our culture. So I listened to everything from classical to jazz to R&B to blues and back. I listened to a bit of everything. I think Creed was the first band that I listened to when I started to like have my own thoughts on things and started to develop my own opinions on things. And Creed was kind of my, like, I'm done with your music, mom and dad. I'm doing my own thing now. Creed was what jumped up to the front. So yes, there is a soft spot in my heart for Scott Stapp and the gang.
Rob Brown, Killer of Dreams. And
your
and,
dream was to have Creed Humphrey named after Creed.
No. And Minor Myths. Rob Brown, Mythbuster.
I mean, listen.
You weren't named after Creed because Creed hadn't had their first hit. It was 1980.
Did you believe up until this moment that he was named after the band Creed?
I believe there was a possibility, yes. And now that has been entirely destroyed. And did it change my opinion on one of the best centers in the league?
No, he's still awesome.
No, and in the end, he had nothing to do with any of that.
Listen, the fact that Creed came to KC and my dude found his way on stage to party with the fellas, that already is awesome. Like, that's already awesome. I'm a fan of Creed Humphrey. Even if he's not aimed after the band, the fact that he figured out a way to get in touch with Scott and the gang and get on the stage and go bananas
is
awesome.
He said his people. So it had nothing to do with him entirely. And here's the other thing. If Creed, the band, believed it was a falsehood, they would have said, no, we can't let you. I know you're famous in Kansas City and everything, but you can't come up here on stage because people are pretending like you were named after us, and that's not true, and we cannot go through with this falsity. We cannot go through with this ruse. We cannot go through with this, I'm sorry, Creed Humphrey, who was named after Apollo Creed. You cannot come on the stage.
No, I mean, he's still a legend in Kansas City and should be treated as such. In 2012, Stapp wrote that Creed first performed under the name Naked Toddler at Yanni's in Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah. There's a classy name right there.
Mark Tremonti, the lead guitarist of the band, said that original name was picked out from under that. Like, they had to have a name to play a gig at Yanni's, and they basically picked up a newspaper and just picked the first phrase they found, and there was a news story about somebody had let their kid out of the house. It was a naked toddler running around, so they went with that. What I can tell you is that Yanni's in Tallahassee was an absolute dive, and I got, when I was in my younger and more formidable days covering the Noles, and I was in my early 20s doing this, and I went to Florida State for games, I got blasted at Yanni's a handful of times, and that was... Now, this was obviously well after Creed was Creed, because I'd been listening to it at that point, but I've been in that bar. It's an absolute dive, and it makes perfect sense that that's where they got it started. That's fantastic. I learned something new today. I love to hear it. You're also about to learn some stuff. That is to say, some of the most important things happening in sports right now with a sports flash. Nailed that one.
Yeah, and I won't be a killer of dreams. Leave the room, man. You're killing the feng shui. Days after being announced as an NBA All-Star Game starter, you're just going to glare at me. Oklahoma City guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropped a 52-point in a rare loss for the Thunder, 116-109 to the Warriors. Shai is the first player to record multiple 50-point games this year and joins Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook as the only players in franchise history with multiple 50-point games in a season. Defense, not a thing in the NBA anymore, apparently. As a response to the attack on Bourbon Street New Year's Eve, the NFL will be beefing up visible security at the Super Bowl next weekend. Around 100,000 people are expected to visit New Orleans for the event, which has been given the second highest security rating by the Department of Homeland Security. And make sure you tune in this Sunday at 1:30 as Furman takes on ETSU in basketball right here on The Fan Upstate.